praise the name of the Lord. You may be seated. We are indeed honored that all of you would be in the house of the Lord, and I know there is an announcement sheet on the back. In fact, if ushers want to take some of those, and it will have the announcements for this month. We will have no service on the Wednesday right before Thanksgiving, and we will have no Sunday night service on the Sunday after Thanksgiving. We have been asked to go to Singapore and then go over into Malaysia and do their deep calleth unto deep conference and be there for several days, and we'll be coming back. We'll be gone over Thanksgiving, but pray for us later on in the month, and we have some good leadership here. I appreciate all of you being here, being in the house of the Lord, being faithful to the house of the Lord. The Lord is moving. It's a powerful meeting because typically we have a delegation from the interior of China, from Pakistan, from India, from Indonesia, Malaysia, from several other Vietnam we've had, and Cambodia, and it's a moment that we are able to minister, let God move. Some of the individuals from some of those areas are underground, and that means that they meet in homes and small groups. It's the first time that they are allowed a freedom of worship and a freedom to clap their hands and to dance and to shout, and they kill me. They wear me out. They start 2 hours before service time starts worshiping. No music, they're just praising God and just dancing and praising. You don't even have to play a keyboard. You don't have to play nothing. You don't even, if you say service is at 7, at 5 o'clock, they're going to be there praising God because they're excited about just being in the presence of the Lord and being able to have that freedom. So we're blessed as a nation. That's why I made the statement about the importance, I believe, for us to say we want to pray that God will continue to bless us, guide us in who to vote for. And yet I believe that God is in control of all of this, and he knows what he's doing. And I know sometimes there are questions, and why, God, why are you allowing this, why that? And quite candidly, and I don't mean to insult you, but you don't have any reason or standing to ask that. Amen. He's God. Right. And you're not big enough to box with God or to challenge his will. And now that doesn't mean that we've not all probably done that at times, that we've all probably said, God, I don't understand. And it's okay to say, God, I don't understand, but it's another thing to say, God, you're doing it wrong. Why are you doing it? Let me tell you a better way to do it. You can't tell God a better way to do it. You can ask, you can say, I don't understand. That's one thing. But anyway, that's not what I'm going to preach about today. I'm glad we are what?
Growing
apostolic legacy. We have a great history. We are growing, and we are alive. That means we're nourished. We're producing fruit. We're growing in strength and influence. We're apostolic to the core, meaning that we believe in a Pentecostal experience with God. We believe in being revival-minded, in being kingdom-minded, in being missions-minded, and representing that vision to the world. And we are thankful. I know Brother Lee had called me. He's been here and preached, the pastor in Singapore, and I think his younger daughter, both daughters came and spent some time with us a few years ago. His younger one's going to fly back with us, and she's going to make some other stops and then be here in December and January, and their whole point is they want to see, because it was missionaries from the U.S. that brought the message to them. And so if there was ever a time for us to say, we still understand how to worship, we still understand how to pray, we still understand how we have that great legacy. And so they're wanting to come and feel and hear and see. In fact, my wife was in California, as I said, Thursday and Friday and Saturday, and today flying back, and she texted me a message and said that she met a lady who is the great granddaughter of Brother S.R. Hanby, who received the Holy Ghost in this church and started the church in Lancaster and started the churches in several communities. And she is the great, I believe, the great-granddaughter of Brother S.R. Hanby, and she is in one of the churches there. She said, I've always wanted to come and see where the place was that my great-grandpa got this, and it started a history in our family. And so he wrote a tract that we have called the Apostolic Doctrine. And so we have a great history here. But guess what? It's not all in what we've had, but I'm thankful for these young folks. I'm thankful for this generation. I'm thankful for the next generation they're working with downstairs. Why? Because I believe the Lord is still moving. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am thankful for a power history, but guess what? We've still got missionaries and evangelists and church planners and all of that sitting on our pews this morning in our auditorium. We don't have pews, thank the Lord. But here we are, great legacy. So I'm going to preach today for a few moments on pursuing a promise. Everybody say, pursuing a promise. I had to go back in time to find a picture of Father Abraham. But I found one finally. There he is, Father Abraham. That's obviously not a picture of Abraham, but we did, when we were able to go to Israel last year, we saw some excavations of old Canaanite cities where Abraham came in and saw and settled and was there. And so seeing some of the excavations and some of those things was very powerful. But for those of you who may not be familiar with what we call the father of the faith, is a man by the name of Abram, is what he started out. Everybody say Abram. Abram. And we pick up the story in sort of Genesis 11. He's mentioned as the son of Terah, there were three brothers, and one of them was Abram, and one of them was Haran, and one of them was Nahor. And we know this was after the flood, and this was after the Tower of Babel, and this man lived up in Assyria, the Ur of the Chaldees. He was out, was not in the Promised Land area, came down from the north, and like the wise men later that came, and there was a word that was spoken to Abram. Now, one of the reasons why that Abram is considered such an important man of faith is because from Abram, you have Ishmael. So the Muslim community points to Abram as being their father, of the faithful, the Jewish community, because of Isaac, points to Abram as being their father of their religion. And yet it was before the law, before Moses, before any of that, was this man by the name of Abram. Now, as Christians, we are given a promise that one day when we go to heaven, we're going to sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jacob, of course, was the father of the tribes of Israel. So we realize that Abram is an important player, and yet you have to understand that he pursued a promise. Here was the first introduction to that promise. Genesis, the 12th chapter. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. And he goes on, I will bless thee. I will make thy name great. Thou shalt be a blessing. You will bless them that bless thee. You will curse them that curse. I will curse those that curse you. In you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed. That's the fourth verse. So Abram got up and left. Now, the backstory is that Abram was living in a city that his brother had built in honor of his dead brother, the city of Haran. Haran was Lot's father, and so Lot, his nephew, went with him. But they left the security of what they knew, and they went pursuing on that word. Now, I have always wondered what it was that was able to get Abram to leave. How did he know? They didn't worship one God. He wasn't monotheistic. The Bible says that they had many gods. And so I don't know what kind of supernatural thing happened. I don't know. But what we do know is that he pursued this promise. In fact, you can read in the 17th chapter, you can read in the 15th chapter, the Lord reiterates it in the 17th chapter, in the 21st chapter. Now, the Bible says, and I mentioned it, maybe I didn't, but he was 75 years old here. And I'm sorry, let me go back and make that point again in those verses. He said, all of the families shall the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord has spoken to him. And verse 4, Abram was 75 years old. Now, that's old. That's retirement. Or close. And some of you may be approaching 75. I don't know. I'm approaching it. Guess what? These young people are too. They're a little further away, but they're getting closer. Some of you may have already got 75 in the rearview mirror. Abram got it at 75. And the Lord said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you a great nation. He's 75 years old, and so he leaves home. Wow, imagine that you stayed home till you were 75. That would be kind of embarrassing, maybe, huh? By today's standards, you know, 75, still at home. I don't know if he had his own house. I don't know what it was. But here he is, 75. The fulfillment of this promise comes when Abraham, his name has been changed, Abraham was 100 years old. So for 25 years, he is pursuing a promise of God. There was no Bible. He didn't have the Bible to read. There were no people that were fellow believers. As a matter of fact, the one man that went with him that was his family, not Lot, his nephew, went off the rails. And that we can talk more about that story at another time. But he ended up way off track. So there was, who was encouraging him? Who were his godly friends? Who were the people that he could see that would say, man, Abram, hang in there. God's going to help you. God told you it's going to work. Hang on to God. Keep praying. Keep believing. There was no way that Abram didn't know how to. There was no plan of sacrifice. There was no temple. There was no tabernacle. There was no church. There was no music. There was no singing. There was nothing. And yet Abram pursued a promise. He didn't have somebody that would say, man, Abe, great job. Come on, Abe, been missing you. Where have you been? You know, we have church, we have guests, we have internet, I remember, y'all, most of you too young, but I remember when, wow, cassettes, we could hear preaching. That was just miraculous. And then videos? Are you kidding me? Could almost be like we were there. Now there's HG radio and this, and they're preaching 24/7. Huh? Somebody's talking the word of God. Somebody. Then there's all kinds of channels, and you can plug in, and then you can log on, and then you can get on the webcam, and I don't know how many that watch us. They have the numbers that come across that watch us every Sunday morning. There are probably people right now watching this service that can't be here. And I'm thankful for all of that, but you got to remember, Abram didn't have that. He had nobody that would encourage him. He had nobody that said, come on, but he pursued a promise. There was no history. There was no legacy. There was no, man, I want to go back and see where my great-grandfather was. There was none of that. Now you want to know why Abram was called the father of the faithful? You're getting a picture of it now. Yet, for over 25 years, he pursued the promise of God. Now, there were occasions in there, and I will tell you honestly that there were occasions when the Lord would reestablish the covenant and meet with him and tell him again, remind him again, but those were years apart. And yet the Bible tells us in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should, after receive for inheritance, obey. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of that same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith he left. By faith he obeyed. By faith he pursued a promise that was generational. Now, 4 by 4 equals P squared. That's for all of you math majors. 4 times 4, 4 in 4. That's what I'm going to preach on today for just a few moments. Is that there were 4 necessary elements in Romans 4 that gave Abraham the strength to pursue this promise. To pursue the promise, P square, pursuing your promise. 4 things in Romans 4. You get it? Just thought it would be catchy. The young people like it. 4 by 4 equals P square. So we're going to go to Romans 4. But I want you to understand that when you say, well, but that was Abraham and that was a long time ago and that doesn't apply to me. Paul was very clear about that. He said, in Galatians, the third chapter, in the 26th verse, 22nd verse, but the scripture hath concluded all are under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. The promise of faith. We have the promise that we can receive the kind of faith and have the kind of faith that Abraham had. I don't care. You say, I don't have very much faith. The Bible says, even if you had the faith the size of a grain of a mustard seed, you can say to that mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea. And so today, what I'm telling you is, God is able to strengthen your faith. And he's able to build your faith today. He's able to increase your faith today to get it to the point that Abraham had it. We're going to look. That's why it talks about the Word, because the Word was God. The Word became flesh. We read in John 1, we beheld his promise. And the Bible says the Holy Ghost is the Word written inside of us. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing what? By the Word of God. And so the important part of us is, why do we say come and worship and pray and praise God, is that it gets the Word flowing, it gets the Holy Ghost flowing. And if you have never received the gift of the Holy Ghost, I'm here to tell you that's the greatest way to get the Word inside of you. It goes back to what happened on Mount Sinai. It goes back to the giving of the Torah. It's the law written on our hearts. There's something about the hand of God writing the Word that it will all of a sudden increase my faith. But you say, but Pastor, I have the Holy Ghost, I spoke in tongues, but I don't seem to have a lot of faith. And Paul talked, you know, God had not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. And then he told Timothy, stir up the gift that was laid on you. Why? Because that's how we get that faith moving. But I'm going to show you in the book of Romans, why the fourth chapter, exactly what happened, what Abram did, that we've got to do to keep the faith in this hour of the onslaught. Here's what it says, Romans, the fourth chapter, verse 18, 19. The important verses, verse 20 and 21. But I want to give you some context. It says in 4:18, who against hope believed in hope, talking about Abram, against all hope, believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken. You remember the promise that was given in Genesis, the 12th chapter? I'm going to make you the father of many nations, and all the world's going to be blessed through you. So shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. Now, what are you saying? And here's where it is. Here's the four things that he did. Easy, simple lesson. Here it is, verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. That's the four things. He staggered not. He was strong in faith. He gave glory to God, and he was fully persuaded that God was able. That was it. Staggered not. Strong in faith, gave glory to God, and was fully persuaded. And you say, well, how can I do that? How is that possible? Those four things, well, let's look at them. Staggered not. Get on blueletter.com. You don't even have to have a Hebrew and Greek lexicon. Don't even have to have the Strong's Concordance anymore. I got books in my library that I don't even have to get out anymore. Just punch it on my iPad. Diakrino. Diakrino is the Hebrew for the Greek rather, for staggered not. He staggered not. He wasn't hesitant. What it means when you go and you hit the word on the Strong's, it means that hesitant made a separate judgment, as if you would judge between, well, that's a Jew, that's a Gentile. I can tell that person is this, this person is that. I can make that. To waver, to vacillate, to use your judgment ability to make a distinction, to doubt. Abram could have at any moment said, as he left home and as he goes down, and it's 10 years, it's 12 years, it's 8 years, I still haven't heard from God. Did I really hear from him? I wonder if that was really true. Are you sure? Come on. I had eaten a lot of broccoli that night. Maybe the venison was a little gamey that they put in the pot. I don't know how he knew it was God. But he believed his experience. He had some experience with God. And when he had it, he just nailed a stake there and said, I don't care what anybody else tells you. I don't care what somebody else says. Well, there's nothing to it. Nothing to what you talked into. There was nothing to that. You didn't have that. You know what? I'm sorry. I was there. I had it. I am not staggering on this. I'm not wavering on this. I'm not oscillating on this. I'm not making a decision. Well, was it I was stressed? I wonder if it was that because I didn't have friends. That was why. No, I had an experience with God, and I am refusing to question or go back on the fact of what I had. That's what Abram did. If you're going to pursue your promise, you've got to have a place where you say, I had that kind of experience with God. God spoke through me. God touched me. It was supernatural. It's not me. I'm not my own. I don't care what anybody else says. If you come to tell me it's not real, that's not gonna happen. I'm not gonna analyze it. I'm not gonna try to explain. I'm not gonna pass judgment. He refused to consider the facts. The fact was his own body was dead. Now Abram is 99 years old when Ishmael is 13, so figure it back. He's 86. 85 when Ishmael is conceived. So for 10 years, from 75 to 85, he has no children. And yet, his name is Abram. Yeah. Now, do you know what Abram means? Abram means exalted father. Or actually, father of many. So from 75, he was born, and so his dad gave him the name, that's Abram. Or someplace it was changed, so his exalted father. And so Abram, exalted father, father of many. Avram. In the Hebrew, Av means father. So for 10 years, he's called father. Everybody says, hey, Abe. And guess what? He's not a dad. That's kind of embarrassing, isn't it? Hey, dad, and you're not a dad. So for 10 years, he's not a dad. Finally, he has Ishmael. And so now, well, okay, it works, Abram. And when he's 99, you can read it in, I think, Genesis, the 17th chapter. He's 99, and he hears another voice from God. And the Lord says, Abram, you're going to have a son, and it's not Ishmael. It's going to be from Sarah. And Abram is like, yeah. And so God tells him, we're going to change your name from Abram to Abraham. So from 99 years of age until Isaac is born at 100, at some point at 99, he calls all the clan together and he says, folks, I'm going to change my name. I am sure at that moment, most people would have thought like me. I know what he's going to change it to. Av Ehad. Ehad being one, father of one. Abahad. That's logical. But what does Abe say? God's spoken again. Father of nations, of vast multitudes. How embarrassing is that, to go to somebody and say, God told me I'm the father of vast multitudes. You got one. And they go, yep, but that's not the one it's coming through. Wow. So that's why I said Ehad being one in Hebrew, I would have said Avehad. But no, he goes Abraham, father of nations. And so he didn't consider his body. He didn't consider Sarah's body. His faith was in God and God's promises and what experience he had with God. He got a word from God, and because he got a word from God, it didn't matter what it looked like. It didn't matter what it sounded like. It didn't matter how much people made fun. I don't know when he announced that my name is now Abraham, if there were people that rolled their eyes in the tent, or they looked at him like, yeah, boy, I bet, or what happened. But at that point, guess what? God said it. I'm going to believe it. I'm going to hang on to it. I don't care what anybody else says. I don't care what anybody else does. I don't care. I am not going to stagger at the promises of God. He refused to stagger at those promises. And that's one of the things that we have to have if we are going to be strong in faith. We have to get rid of any doubt, any wavering, and we got to say, you know what? One day the Lord brought me out of the miry clay. One day he gave me an experience. I cannot go back to the way I was. I can't redo the way I was. I got a place. I am going after God now. I am pursuing God now. Oh, yeah. I had a great experience. I remember that, Pastor. I remember what God did for me. But right now, you see, that's not as important as, no, not Abram. He staggered not. It was like, I'm now pursuing God and God's word. Now, the next thing, and I know my time is going here. The Bible says he was strong in the faith. Here it is. Strong in the faith. And I put faithfulness of God. Strong in the faith. When we say faith, do you have faith? It doesn't mean Abram was not going to stagger. He wasn't going to waver. But he was strong in believing in the faithfulness of God. That's what it meant, strong in the faith. His faith was in God. It couldn't be in his own self because he didn't consider his own body. It couldn't have been in what he could do. It was totally in what God could do. And so when you say, well, I just don't have the faith, you're not. It's not an attack on me. It's not an attack on you. It's an attack on God. Because if you really have faith, you believe that God is faithful. God will do what he said he will do. That's why we say faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And as I said, I don't know what it was that Abram heard, but he believed that God said, you are going to be the father of nations. And he heard that word and he took it to himself and he held onto that word. There was no Bible. There was no word of God to turn to. The Bible says in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, the second verse, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And so when a person, you say, well, I want more faith. I need more faith. I want to have more faith. Let me tell you, you got to keep your eyes on Jesus. You can't look at everybody else. You can't look at yourself. You can't look at, well, this one didn't help me and that one didn't do it and this one wasn't there. Who are you focused on? Abram only could focus on a voice that he heard or a thought. The Bible doesn't tell us how, whether it was a dream, we don't know. God spoke to him in one place. The Bible says in the 17th chapter, he fell into a deep trance and they made a covenant and they cut animals and smoke and fire walked between them. And he had an amazing connection. That was in the 17th chapter or 15th chapter, one, but you understand what I'm saying? At some point, Abram just held on to God by keeping, you know, and whenever I put there in the story, you don't have to turn there, and you may not know the story, but some of you remember when the prophet came to the woman and said, what can I do for you? And she said, well, I don't have a child. And he goes, oh, by this time next year, you'll be hugging a baby. And you know what her first response was? Don't you lie to me. Don't lie. And that's kind of sometimes the way we get, you know. I can't consider. Are you sure? I want to tell you something. If the Lord says it, you can take it to the bank. They may not believe you, but God will do what he said he will do. Now you say, well, I believed God for a Maserati or a Lamborghini or whatever. And God may not want you to have that, but I want to tell you, if God ever speaks a word to you, and we got plenty of word here, and if it lines up with the word of God, like I'll never leave you nor forsake you, I'll be with you through the valley of the shadow of death. I will wash you. I will cleanse you. I will bless you. Those words you can take to the bank. And you can say, Jesus said it. I believe it. His word, number says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and shall he not do it? Hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? I'm telling you, we serve a God that is faithful. He is faithful. He will do what he said he would do. He will be there in the midnight hour. He'll be there wherever you're going, through the very valley. He'll be there to strengthen you. Don't ever let the enemy help you stagger at that promise. Yeah. You'd be strong in the faith. Not you say, well, I don't have much faith. Well, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. Plug in another sermon, hear another word, listen to something. What are you doing? I'm building up myself on my most holy faith. What are you saying? Strong in the faithfulness of God. Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto the people of Israel according to all that he promised. This was written in 1 Kings after David, after Solomon, it was in the middle of Solomon, after all of Saul, David, now we're into Solomon, and the writer said, after they wandered in the wilderness after Joshua, after Judges, they said, listen, the Lord has not failed in one word of his promise, which he promised unto Moses. What are you saying? I'm saying that when the Lord said there's going to be a church, a people that are alive and remain at the coming of the Lord, I want you to know God's going to have a church. He's going to have a people. He is going to, Hebrews the 10th chapter, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. There's that staggering again. For he is faithful that has promised. What are you saying? I believe not, you say, well, do you believe that everybody's going to? No, follow me. Paul said, as I follow Christ, I understand. I don't know. But what I do know is God is faithful. God is faithful that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. No matter what I am going through, no matter what is buffeting me emotionally, no matter what is attacking my mind, no matter what is going on in my spirit, I have something that holds me like an anchor holds a ship, and that was both sure and steadfast and enters into the very presence of Almighty God, that God is faithful. God does not lie. God is faithful. God does not lie. I preached about the lies that the enemy will have. I want you to know, but there are promises. We gave them out on Father's Day, a whole book of them. There are promises in the Word of God that you can take and say, God's Word will never fail. Heaven and earth may pass away, but my Word will never fail. That's why they've been in family life class taking verses and giving out and having things that you can have for, memorize a daily scripture. And I try to tell people, did you get up? Did you read the Word? Did you pray? Did you talk to the Almighty? Did you talk about His faithfulness? Did you talk about how powerful He is? If you didn't, then let me tell you, you're going to get blown around by the spirits that are here. If you don't embrace the faithfulness of God and nail that down like another amen, sure tent peg. Oh, hallelujah. Let me go on. I know. There are four things. One was that he was strong in faith. Here it is. Lamentations. And I hardly ever use this in counseling because it's too depressing, but I'm depressed all y'all today. Just pick up Lamentations 3. It's the prophet Jeremiah. You want to tell me how bad it is? Read Lamentations, 3rd chapter. Start at verse 1. He says, I feel like I've been beaten by rods. You ever felt that way? I'm in a dark place. There is no light where I am. I've been walled up on every side. I feel like God's got a bow and He's shooting arrows at me. He said, I feel my skin is old. I feel like my bones are broken. I know how that feels. Huh? He is in anguish. He said, I hear people laughing at me. You ever come into church and people go, or they scowl? Oh, God, it's the pastor. Huh? And then I come in and they're singing songs. Isn't he stupid? Stupid. Oh, God. They make up songs about me. He said, I'm filled with bitterness. Read it sometime. It's a good homework assignment. But don't stop at if you can make it to about verse 21. Because in Lamentations, he hits 21. This I recall to my mind. Therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore, I will hope in Him. Is it getting bright? No, but there's something that I can call on. The Lord is good unto those that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. I don't care what trouble you're in, or what situation you're facing, or what valley you're in. If you will remember there God's faithfulness, the Lord is there. He hasn't left me. It doesn't matter if I'm in jail and with my feet and hands in stocks. I'm telling you, a God that can show up and immediately change everything. The doors can open. I'm talking about a God that can do it supernaturally in one moment. That's the kind of God I serve. But you don't understand. You've got to consider this, Pastor. Abram didn't even consider his own body. These are part of the four things that he had. Then the next one, you probably know. I told you, giving glory to God. Praising God before I see the fulfillment of the promise. He gave glory to God. He was willing to change his name to the father of vast nations. And guess what? He lived to basically see Isaac born. He didn't live to see the sea. But he held on to it. I haven't seen it. But God, I'm holding on to it. Holding on to it. I've prayed with people in this church, said, I don't know if I'll be healed here or there, but I'm coming up out of here. Huh? Oh, that's just your way. You're wavering it. I'm holding on to He is the God that healeth thee. By His stripes we are healed. He healeth all thy disease. I'm hanging on to a promise. I don't know where and I don't know how. I understand how hard that is. I had a 6-year-old that looked me in the eyes and said, Daddy, am I ever going to get better? And all I could say was, yep, honey, I know what the Bible says. One of these days, it's going to be all, and inside, I'm thinking, oh, I don't know here, next world, what, but I'm still, I'm not going to stagger on that. I'm not going to oscillate on that. And oh, you know, I know, everybody knows, a few years ago, she gets the letter about Crohn's, it never goes in remission, and we don't know it, but it's at least not flaring right now, and hasn't flared. It's there, but we're not sure where it's gone right now. And the places that were damaged are healing up, and we're not sure how. But then, what am I saying? God is faithful, and I give glory to God. And let me tell you how important that was. That's written in Romans, the 4th chapter. You read Romans, the 1st chapter, almost in the same verse, in verse 20 in Romans 4, but in 21 in Romans 1, it says that there was people that when they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, neither were they thankful, and God gave them up to let it bother their mind, and it bothered their heart or their emotions. I want to tell you, one of the greatest things that you can do to cleanse your mind and to cleanse your emotions is to give glory to God, is to raise your hands and begin to worship and to magnify God. There's something about it. It starts working on my mind. It starts changing my imagination. When I'm standing and I'm worshiping God, it changes me. Oh, I know when we preach about it, and the Lord sent ambushments, and then, okay, here it is. 2 more slides, I'm done, almost done, Brother David. Fully persuaded that what God said, He was able to do. He had assurance that if God said it, God could do it. I don't know how he'll do it. I don't know where he'll do it, but he's able. That's what Paul wrote in Ephesians. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to what? The power that works in us. Why do you talk about having the Holy Ghost, and why is that? Because that's that supernatural power. Isaiah said, yea, I have spoken it, I will bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will do it. At some point, you have to believe that God can do anything. And we're here, and we have Tim, Tracy, Brother Raymond. I've played you the miracles. It blows my mind, and yet it shouldn't, because God can do anything. God can do anything. I've seen God change things around financially for people, just miraculously. I mean, I can tell you story after story that I've seen, whether it's the marriage, whether it's the home, whether whatever. And you say, well, I don't know. You give glory to God, because God is that powerful. I am fully persuaded. You say, well, Pastor, that's great. That's Abraham. Okay, well, let me be Baptist, John the Baptist specifically. John the Baptist said, Luke the 3rd chapter, let me tell you something, guys. Bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. And don't say to yourself that we have Abraham for our father. For I say unto you, God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. I want to tell you something. If you will come and believe God and just begin to give glory to God before you ever see it, God is able to break up that stony heart and give you a brand new heart. And you can get the 4 things in Romans 4 and start pursuing your promise. You know what? What was his promise? What was his promise? What was the big promise? I read it to you. Oh, that he would be the father of nations, that he would have children and be a great man. But what was that was this. But Hebrews told it to us. Remember Hebrews 11 chapter? For he sought for a city. His builder had foundations, but whose builder and maker was what? God. That was the promise. This world's not my home. I'm looking for a city. I remember we used to sing a song, looking for a city. Huh? Then we sing another song, Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had father, left hand, right hand, left foot, right foot. Nod your head, turn around, stand up, sit down. Remember those? Father Abraham sought for a city. His foundations, builder, maker was God. What are you saying? I want us to say, I am not going to stagger at the promises of God. God called me out of darkness. I'm going to heaven. I don't care what's happened. I don't care what else is going on. I'm making my trek to the eternal, to glory. That's what it is. This world is not my home. He dwelt in tents in a land that was Canaan, that was going to be that of promise. What are you saying? If there was ever a time, I'm not talking about natural Israel, and I pray for Israel, I pray for America, I pray for our countries, but I want to tell you, this world is not my home. I don't know what's going to happen in it, but one of these days, I'm looking for a city. I am not going to lie. I'm going to keep worshiping, giving glory to God. Why? Because one of these days it's all going to get wrapped up. Oh, hallelujah. But what are you going through? I want you to know, no matter what I'm going through, I'm going to raise my hands and begin to magnify and praise and worship God. I don't know what it was. Abraham didn't even have a place where he could give money, but he had enough sense to know, I'm going to pay tithes to Melchizedek. I'm not taking an offering. I'm not mad. If you pay tithes, I hope. I'm glad. But did it out of obedience because he had a word. I'm planning on going to heaven. And it's not about me. It's not about the preacher. It's not about anything else. It's about, I'm doing this as unto the Lord. One day, the Lord did something. Hallelujah. Let's stand. I don't know if you're here and you feel weak in the faith, in the faithfulness of God. I don't know where you are, but I'm here to tell you that you can pursue a promise, and we have better tools than Abraham had. And I know you can say, well, it's much worse than now than it was then. You're probably right. Sin, spirits. Although you read what Lot got into, and it was pretty bad. And you'd have a hard time convincing me that we're too much more worse. Huh? But you know what? You can make up your mind today. I'm not gonna stagger. I'm gonna believe in the faithfulness of God. I'm gonna give glory to God, and I am gonna be fully persuaded that God is able. God is able. God is able. I'm going to come with one thing in my mind. I'm going to come to praise, knowing one thing: God is able. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I ask or think, according to the power. Lord, baptize me with your power. Baptize me with your power. Fill me up with the Holy Ghost and fire so I can feel the power. I want you to know the altar is open. If you need the Holy Ghost, I want you to come. You've never been baptized in water. I want you to come. You can be a child of Abraham today. If you need more faith, come. Hallelujah. We're going to come. We're going to worship the Lord today. I don't know what you're going through, but I know a God that will never leave you nor forsake you. He will be there in the midnight hour. That's the kind of God I serve. Hallelujah.